So I've got a message here on New Year. It's called, Who Will You Serve in 2017? There you go. There's a good question. Who will you serve in 2017? I want you to open your Bibles, please, and go to the book of Joshua for me, please. Joshua chapter 24, and we're looking at a couple of verses here, verses 14 to 16 to start with, and then we're going to skip down to verses 20 to 24. So, starting in, you're all there? All right, starting in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 16, he says, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's what they said. God forbid. How could you think such a thing, Joshua? God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. What a thing to say about us. Now go down to verse 20, please. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. That's what they said. They said that. It's in the Bible. They said we're going to serve God. But I want to, don't worry about turning there for time's sake, but I'm going to read you a scripture now from 1 Kings 18:21 about Elijah when he was confronting the priests of Baal. And Elijah came unto all the people and he said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. The people answered not a word. Now this is a long time after Joshua, but things had changed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer off the message and the meeting to the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come together today, to look into your word, to read the things that have happened in times past, Lord, that have been written down for us who live in this end time age, Lord, for instructions to us. We read that in the Bible, that these things happen unto them as in samples to us who, upon whom the ends of the age have come, Lord. So we can see examples from the scriptures that we read in the Old Testament, Lord, and relate them to things that are happening today, Lord, and what you want us to hear from you and to answer you, Lord. So help us today, Lord, as we listen to this word and receive a challenge from it, Lord, that we make up our minds, Lord, which God we will serve, Lord, whether it will be you, the true God, or whether it will be other gods that entice us on all sides, Lord, to come and serve them. Just bless the people's hearing, Lord, that they may hear the things that you want to say. Bless their hearts, Lord, to receive the things that you would want to implant there, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Righto. Now, something I want us to take careful note of in these two passages of Scripture that we've just opened with this morning is that in response to Joshua's message to the people about serving God, twice the people enthusiastically responded, saying in verse 24, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. In contrast, though, in response to Elijah's questions to the people as to whether they would choose to follow the God of the Bible or whether they would choose to follow Baal, the false god of the Amorites, Scripture informs us that the people answered him not a word. You saw that, eh? In one instance, oh, we're going to serve you. And in the other instance, they were subdued into silence. They knew that they hadn't been serving the one true God. The title of my message this morning is really a question. It's going to be a challenge to each one of us as we begin the first day of the new year, a day which perhaps could be the commencement of new opportunities and blessings from God, or perhaps, depending on the choice we make, it could actually be the commencement of missed opportunities and therefore great disappointments. As each of our scriptures demonstrate in the historical account of God's dealings in the affairs of the nation of Israel, the people had a choice to make. Either they could serve the true God who, in answer to their prayers and petitions, proved himself in demonstrations of power and great wonders that he loved them, bringing them out of captivity in Egypt into freedom and abundant blessing. Or they could serve Baal, the false god of the Amorites, who demonstrated himself to be a tyrannical god who held his servants in subjection and oppression. You read in the Bible, the contrast between the God of the Bible and the God of the heathens is very, very clear. One is a God of love, the other is a God of violence and hatred. So, the title of my message is, Who Will You Serve in 2017? And there's a subtitle, Who Will You Serve in 2017? And the subtitle is, And Whose Voice Will You Obey? There's a choice, my friends. There's a choice. You knew that, eh? You knew there was a choice? You can nod your head, shake your head, sit there quietly, say nothing like they did to Elijah. We know there's a choice, all right? There's a choice. The verses we read from the book of Joshua chapter 24 are a record of Joshua's final words to the nation of Israel just before he died. Previous verses in the chapter are chronological account, or historical account, spoken by Joshua of all the things that God had accomplished in them and through them because of their obedience to him. They are also a warning of what could go wrong if the people chose to go back to their old ways, back to the ways they lived before God rescued them. There was a choice. They could make a choice. In verse 15, Joshua tells them, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. And then he made the famous statement that everyone who even remotely considers themselves to be a God-honoring Christian likes to quote about themselves, including me, amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Who's ever said that? You can put your hand up, or I have. I've said, As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. And by his grace, that's what I've tried to do. Sometimes unsuccessfully. But to the best of my ability and the best of my purpose, I've said, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And you know, there's something interesting about that. I didn't see Joshua went around and got a questionnaire to all the rest of his household to say, are you going to serve the Lord with me? He just declared that. As for me and my house, as far as Joshua was concerned, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. After numerous warnings about what would happen if they reverted back to serving false gods and idols, all the people professed in verse 21, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. Why are you asking these things, Joshua? We will serve the Lord. And again in verse 24, they proclaimed in a united voice of agreement, The Lord our God will we serve. And his voice will we obey. However, what did Pastor said last week? The best word in the Bible, but. It can be good, but it can also be bad. But by the time we get back to the book of Kings, or get onto the book of Kings and the famous account of Elijah confronting the priest of Baal and calling down fire from heaven. You all heard that story, eh? You know about that one. Yeah. We discover that instead of continuing to serve and obey the true God of heaven, the Israelites were following after the false god Baal some of the time. They're serving Baal some of the time and then attempting to serve the true God at other times. It's called syncretism. Syncretism. Joining two religious things together. All right? Syncretism. And it happens quite regularly today. There's lots of people in the world today who are joining two religions together. They blend the church with one church with another church, or one religion with try to blend it with Christianity, or else big time today. We've got the church blending the world with the church. That's called syncretism too. Syncretism, synchronizing two things together. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. The prophet Elijah issued a stern challenge to the people. They needed to make a calculated decision about what they would do. He said to them, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" They had two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Make up your mind. In other words, how long are you going to sit on the proverbial fence of indecision, having two bob each way, trying to figure out in your own futile minds how you can successfully serve two gods? Make up your minds. If the Lord be God, then follow him, and him only. But if Baal, if you think Baal's God, then go ahead and follow him. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways and serve both. It has to be one or the other. You can't have a little bit of this God here and a little bit of that God there, because it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work, friends. And something I've noticed over the last 35 years of being a Christian is that it always ends up with the false God seeming to win in the affairs of the person's life. It's always the false God that seems to overpower and win in that battle. God's blessing progressively disappears and their life begins to turn upside down and go pear-shaped. That's what I've noticed. When people try to serve two gods, something goes wrong. And that doesn't mean that the false God is more powerful than the true God of the Bible. It just means that the God of the Bible has given us the privilege of making our own moral choice as to who we will serve. We've got a choice. We've got a choice. The choice is ours, but so is the consequence. The consequence of our choice is ours too. And like I said, it may seem like, wow, that false God's more powerful than the true God. No. God just allows you to make the choice. Okay, in Matthew 6:24, the Lord Jesus puts it like this, about serving two gods. This is how the Lord Jesus put it. You can turn there if you like. Have a look at this. This is pretty important. Matthew 6:24, please. This is what Jesus said about trying to serve two gods. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters." That's pretty blunt. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Jesus is simply saying what both Joshua and Elijah said, just in different words. He's saying the same thing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Make up your minds, because if you're trying to serve both, you're kidding yourself, and trouble is definitely looming somewhere up ahead in your life's journey if you make the wrong choice. Amen? So, that's pretty plain, isn't it, what Jesus said? No man can serve two masters. He didn't say you might be able to do it sometimes and not at others. No, he said no man can serve two masters. For either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Make up your own minds. Who are you going to serve? Now, just a caution here, listen carefully. You might not have noticed yet the implication of what all these scriptures are saying. You might have noticed this. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, Joshua and Elijah all say that you must serve one or the other. Okay? Is that right? They're saying you've got to serve one or the other. You can't serve both. Okay? You got that bit. But what about this? Neither, however, can you choose to serve none. You can't choose to serve none. By not serving one, you are serving the other by default. But there's no way that you can get out of this situation by thinking that you can choose none. I'll just have nothing to do with this. Can't be done. It's not like in the natural where you might have two workmates and you can choose to be close friends with both of them, one of them, or none of them. It's not like that, friends. In God's economy, it's got to be one or the other. Full stop. You got it? Is that right? You understand that, eh? By not serving God, you are by default serving the devil. You knew that, eh? Did you know that? Yeah, if you don't serve God, you've got to be serving the devil. Now, we've got to make up our mind which God we want to serve. And it can be done. It can be done. Do we understand God's requirements when we make our choice regarding who we will serve in this year of 2017? We can't just sit on the fence with one leg on this side and one leg on the other side. Even in the natural, sitting on both sides of the fence is a painful experience. But in the spiritual, the pain could be eternal. We have to make a choice, and it's not even acceptable to be like the people of Elijah when he confronted them for trying to serve two gods. We can't be like them, we are told, and the people answered him not a word. Whether we answer the question audibly or not, God already knows the choice we make. You know that? Whether we answer the question audibly or not, God knows the answer to our question. God already knows. So those people in Elijah's day, they answered him not a word. They weren't game to, because they knew they'd been nailed. And we can be nailed too. So we don't have to answer this audibly. We can just make it up in our mind, all right? Think about it very seriously and decide in our mind without telling anybody who we're going to serve. Today we live in an age where trouble is buffeting both the church and society generally on all sides. But I want to encourage us to forget for a short while about all the troubles and disasters that are happening out in the world outside the church, because they are only a symptom of humanity's choice to serve foreign gods rather than the God of the Bible. All right? All this trouble we see happening in the world is a symptom of societies forsaking God. I know this will sound a bit over the top, but we need to stop for a moment and take stock of what's going on. We need to take a considered look at the world today and just think for a moment about where all the worst disasters affecting humanity are taking place. Generally, we call those places the third world. And except for the missionary work that takes place in those various locations, there is no spiritual light. And the populations are totally given over to witchcraft, worshipping of a multitude of false gods and their idols. Is that true? You think about it. Some people might like to argue about that, but if you analyse it, this is what's going on. Now, if we think for a little bit more about these things and carefully analyse what's going on, we come to the conclusion that increasingly the Western or developed nations are going the same way as the undeveloped, idol-worshipping, third-world nations. The developed nations are going that way. We need to ask ourselves why. Well, I've got a bit of an idea. It's because as time goes on, these developed Western nations, which until recently, relatively recent times, held to the Bible for their standard of life and practice, and they are more and more rejecting God and his standards and serving the same false God that the third world countries are serving. That's what's going on. Particularly since the 1950s and 60s, mainly because of groups within the United Nations imposing multicultural policies upon naive politicians in Western nations, these foreign gods and their false religions have been imported and practically welcomed into the sites of Western societies with open arms. And we are now seeing the disastrous results. And you know what? Some of us have lived long enough to experience what it's been like to live under both choices. We remember what it was like 50, 60, 70 years ago, and we see what it's like today, and we're in a position to be able to compare the difference. The longer you've lived, the more of a perspective you get. You see, you can look back. And the further you look back, if you've been alive long enough, you can look back and you see a lot of the things that are happening in the world that today weren't happening then. Like just after the Second World War, we had a lot of immigrants came into Australia, but they were mainly Europeans. Now we've got everyone. Now I'm not telling all you people that aren't Europeans to get out of the country, I'm not saying that. But something bad is happening. God separated us all at the Tower of Babel, and he said he established the bounds of our habitation that we might seek him and serve him. That hasn't happened. And today we've got groups of people that are trying to undo what God did at the Tower of Babel. Bring us all back together under one language where we can all communicate together and do what we think we can do. Do anything we want to do. That's why God came down. He said, they can do anything they want to do. They just communicate with each other and they can make up an idea and do it. We're going to go down there and confuse them all. They won't be able to communicate. Communication is a very powerful thing, my friends. And as I pointed out in my series of messages entitled The 1940s, The Fig Tree Generation, nearly the entire swerving to the left of the developed or Western nations away from serving the true God and into serving foreign gods has occurred since the God of the Bible, in fulfilment to ancient prophecies, brought his people, the Jews, back into their land in May 1948. And he started his countdown clock, which strikes midnight at the momentous event when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the end of the Great Tribulation. All right? The clock's ticking down to the return of the Lord. And just a point of interest there, the countdown clock stops when the Lord returns. And that's not at the rapture. The rapture happened 7 years before that. So what I'm trying to point out there is that for us Christians, time is getting short. Time is getting short. We come back with the Lord. Amen? We come back with the Lord. We got 7 years with the Lord before he returns. So our time is shorter than the general population. There's a 7 years of great tribulation which the people will go through that are not Christians. You realise that? Anyhow, so the return of the Lord is closer than we think. Closer than most people realise, because there's a 7 year period on the end of that where the Lord returns for us at the rapture. So praise the Lord. We don't have to go through the tribulation if you believe what our Bible says. God says, I'm going to gather my jewels. I'm not going to kick them around in a pigsty. Gather them together like a man gathers his son. I'll have them home with me when all this stuff's going on. So we'll be in heaven with the Lord for 7 years. What I'm trying to point out, though, is people think, oh, there's still a fair way in the distance, this thing. No, it's not. It's very close. Tonight, rather than looking at the world and pointing our fingers and blaming corrupt politicians and homosexual lobby and the abortion industry for all our woes, I want us to relate the consequences of how we respond to my question, who will you serve the Lord in 2017, upon spiritual things rather than secular. Forget about the world for a moment and let's think about the church in particular. It's my considered opinion that the disastrous things that we see happening in the world around us today are really only a reflection of the disastrous things that we are being tolerated and practiced in the churches, in the professing churches throughout the world. It's the consequence of things that are taking place in the professing churches. What we see going on in the world is a consequence of what's going on in the churches. Things that are happening in the spiritual realm, in the professing churches, either for good or bad, are reproduced in the natural, in the secular societies and cultures in which we live. The choices that we make about who we will serve and whose voice we will obey, whether it be the God of the Bible or whether it be one of the multitude of foreign gods we can choose from, and whether we make the choice as an individual or corporately as a local church, it's going to have an effect upon our lives. And it's because of the wrong choices that the professing churches throughout the world have made down through the years about who they will serve, whether it be God or Baal, that we end up with this ungodly society that we currently live in. That's why our society's gone bonkers. There is an abundance of false religions in the world today, all proclaiming that they are the way of truth and enlightenment, and that the only hope for us enjoying a great life in the here and now, with health, wealth, and abundant prosperity assured, the only hope we can ever have of achieving eternal life in paradise is to put our hope and trust in their doctrines and serve their particular version of God. Besides the God of the Bible who loves us and sent his son to die on the cross, shedding his blood for our sins, there are many other gods, all competing for our devoted attention. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 to 6 says, though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us, Paul said, to us, there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things are all things, and we by him. So Paul's saying there's only one God. Though there be many that call themselves gods and lords, there's really only one God. Though there are many things that the unbelievers worship as gods, and willfully make to be lords of their lives, all of these objects of worship, whether they be material or spiritual, are not really gods. They're false gods. And the God of heaven mocks these so-called gods, and he also mocks the people who worship them because of their foolishness. It's foolish to worship foreign gods. And I want to just have a look at a couple of scriptures that do exactly that, where God mocks the foreign god, and he also mocks the people that serve them. So if you'd like to turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 10. We're going to have a look at verses 3 to 5. Jeremiah 10, verses 3 to 5. We're going to have a look here. All these foreign gods that people worship in the Old Testament, God mocks them. He mocks them, and he mocks the people. Jeremiah 10, 3 to 5 says, "For the custom of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it." In other words, they decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be borne, that is, they must need to be carried about, because they cannot go. They can't walk by themselves. Anyhow, God says, "Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do any good." They can't do evil. They can't even do good. They can't do anything. So don't be afraid of them. Now, you might be thinking already, who would be so foolish to cut down a tree and make an object of worship out of it? They must be crazy, right? People must be crazy to do that. That's a fairly graphic description of the activities of a religious institution that has survived in various forms from before the days of Jeremiah up until our present time. There's still religions today doing it. You think, oh, they wouldn't be doing that today. That's old-fashioned stuff. No, no, there's people doing it today. People that get around in suits and ties. Not up in the bush somewhere. There are people in churches across the world today, that have dead pieces of wood that they serve as gods. They worship idols, which are scathingly mocked by God. God says that these pieces of dead wood, despite how sincerely some religious people might claim to the contrary, they can do neither good nor evil. Let me assure you that according to Scripture, a dead log of wood doesn't make a very good god. Okay? It's not a very good god to serve in 2017, my friends. Don't worship a log of wood. All right? Don't care how pretty they've made it. Don't worship it. Now, let's take a quick look at another Old Testament warning against serving gods we've created with our own hands and from our own futile imaginations, rather than serving the God of the Bible. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44, please. Now let's have a look at a few verses starting from verse 8, okay, 8 to 19. Now, the scripture we're about to read would be rather humorous, except it's not some kind of fairy tale, but it's actually what numerous religious people involve themselves in every day. And not just the God-rejecting heathen nations of the world, but right here in our modern city of Cairns. You believe me? You think, oh, he's telling me lies again. No, this is true. Isaiah 44, verses 8 to 19 says, "Is there a God besides me?" God speaking. "Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God." God says, "There is none. I know not any." Now skip down to verse 10. "Who hath formed a god or molten graven image that is profitable for nothing?" Skip down to verse 14. "He heweth him down cedars and taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh a graven image, and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in a fire, with part thereof he eateth flesh. He roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood." God speaking, "They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. For none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge in their understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bake bread upon the coals thereof, and have roasted flesh and eaten it? And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? I reckon when you go home this afternoon, get that piece of scripture and read it. Read it. And see what God's saying there. These people don't even have the understanding to know that they're worshipping a false god. How foolish to think that we can make our own god to serve and worship out of a piece of wood. Astounding, isn't it, that people would do that? Part of our god we use to keep us warm on a cold night. Part of our god we use to cook our meals. And what's left over we fashion into an idol which we serve and bow down to and worship and pray to and even ask it to bless our lives. And not only that, but we also expect this piece of wood to somehow have power to defend us in times of trouble and even to give us eternal life, which is really what everyone wants anyway. Everyone wants eternal life, you see. It sounds crazy to Bible-believing Christians who have been born again and have placed their hope in the Lord, doesn't it? Does it sound crazy to you that people would do that? It does, doesn't it? It sounds really crazy. Unimaginable foolishness. But vast multitudes of people throughout the world, even today, are doing just that. And like I said, they're even doing it here in Cairns. Where? Where are they doing that? Where? Does anyone know where they're doing that today? Worshipping idols and pieces of wood and bits of molten metal and plaster of Paris? Idols hanging on the walls or on their altars? You know where they're doing that in Cairns? Yeah, they're doing it in the Catholic Church. Catholics do that. Roman Catholics do that. They worship idols. They'll tell you they don't, but they do. If they read their catechism, they'll find out that they're supposed to if they're not. All right, so people do it today. It's not some fancy thing from way back in the dim, dark ages. It's carried on down through today. People create their own god out of wood or some molten metal, lavishly decorate it, then parade it around and everyone bows down and worships it. We talked about that one other time, about this feast that they have down at Ingham or the Feast of the Saints or something. They carry around these idols and all the people worship it as God. And they will try to convince us that they have that hope that is both sure and steadfast. They'll tell you their hope is in that idol, the homemade piece of wood, wooden god. And they'll tell you that we, along with them, should be worshipping them. We should be doing that too. The Pope wants us all to come back and worship his idols. There's big ecumenical stuff going on today, my friends. And if we don't guard against it, what's going on in the other churches, we'll get caught up in it. We need to stand guard at our doors and make sure it doesn't come in here. All right? This ecumenical thing of all the churches coming back together under the Roman Catholic Church, it's a diabolical thing. So we're not getting involved in it, are we? We're not going to get involved in that. No, we're going to stand guard against it. What will we do? What will we do in answer to our question today as born-again Christian believers who have read our Bibles and who have heard God's warnings about listening to the voices of foreign gods? Who are we going to serve in 2017? And whose voice will we obey? Amen? That's our question today. Who are we going to serve? What did we read back at the beginning of my message in Matthew 6:24? The Lord Jesus puts it like this. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Joshua said, "Choose you this day who you will serve." Elijah said, "If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him." Make up your mind. We have to make up our minds, because if we try to serve both, we're kidding ourselves. We can't do it. And unless we make the right choice, like I said before, trouble is definitely looming somewhere up ahead. If you choose the wrong god, there's going to be trouble. So I want to close this morning with a scripture that will encourage those of us who, during the last year, we already made the choice to serve the living God of the Bible. Let's read a scripture from God's Word that will help us to answer our question today by declaring that we are going to serve the true and living God of the Bible. Amen? And we're going to obey his voice during this new year of 2017. So it's in Romans chapter 6. If you'd like to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to close with this. I want to encourage you, serve the God of the Bible. Now, you need to know, what does the God of the Bible require of us? It's no good saying, oh, I love God and I obey him, and you don't know what he said. We've got to read our Bible, amen? We need to read our Bible, find out what God says in there that we should do if we want to prove that we love him. Jesus said, if you want to prove that you love me, obey my commandments. So we need to find out what's written in the Bible, what does God require of us, and do that. And if somebody comes along and says, let's do this, and you know for sure it's not in the Bible, say, sorry, I'm not going. I'm staying here. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's good. I'm glad you said amen. You see, Joshua said, by saying amen, you've actually declared. You're agreeing. Okay? So you've now been a witness for yourself. We're going to serve the Lord. Praise God. Now, Romans 6, and we're going to read verses 16 to 23. And if you're a person here this morning who doesn't know for sure which God you're serving, if you're here this morning and you don't know which God you're serving, or maybe you do, but you're not sure how you can turn to the true and living God and forsake your idols, if you're here and you don't have assurance of eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have any questions about these things, then let me encourage you that before you leave the building today, come and speak to me or some of the other Christians in the building here and find out what you need to do. And you're very blessed today if you're one of those people that are not sure whether you're serving God or serving some other foreign God, or you've never heard of anything like this before about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on a cross to pay for your sins. If you've never heard anything like that, maybe you're one like that here this morning. I say, I don't think there's anyone like that here this morning. But if you are, you're very blessed. Let me tell you why. I know at least three missionary families here today who've gone to the ends of the earth to take the Lord's message. So there's at least three. One, two, where's the other one? Up the back, you see? Three missionary families. You're from a church in PNG, brother. Okay? So we know for sure that there's people in here that know what I'm talking about is true, right? But if you think, well, I don't know what I believe, you need to find out, because you can only serve one God. You can't serve both, and you can't serve none. There's a trap. There's a trap. You've got to serve one or the other. If you're not serving the God of the Bible, you're by default serving the devil. All right? If you're not serving the devil, then by default, you are serving God. So, you need to make up your mind. And like I said, if you're here this morning and you don't know, or you do know, that you're not serving the true God, you need to get it straight with God and do something about it. The challenge is on. The challenge is on. And don't leave the building without finding out if you're one of those people. Righto, our question was, who will you serve in 2017? And whose voice will you obey? That's me too. Who am I going to serve in 2017? Whose voice am I going to obey? Well, in Romans 6:16 to 23, we get a bit of a challenge here. It says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. He's saying before you were the servants of sin, but now you've obeyed that form of doctrine which I delivered to you. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You used to serve sin, but now you're the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. The challenge is there. You used to serve that, but now you need to serve this. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. For now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And the famous scripture verse, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Pastor James preached a good message last Sunday on the gift. If you were here and heard it, I've actually put it on the internet, because that message that he preached on Romans 16, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was an excellent gospel message about the gift. Everyone's thinking about the gift over Christmas, but God gave us a gift, a free gift. And Pastor James did a wonderful job on expounding what a gift is. Five truths about a gift. That's on the internet. I put it up straight away on Sunday afternoon. I didn't have church on Sunday night while you were all up in Pastor Buddy's church singing. Beautiful voices up there at the concert. I was at home putting the message on the internet, because I reckon people need to hear that. And I reckon I'm going to make CDs of it and put it on our table. Or maybe put it in our visitors' pack. That message was a wonderful message, expounding this verse about God's gift to us. Who will you serve in 2017? I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue serving the same God I served in 2016. As for me and my house, Colleen's not here. Colleen's away too. Everybody's abandoned us. But Colleen's down with her grandchildren down at Gympie. But I know Colleen will agree with me when I say, as for me and my house, we will continue to serve the same Lord we served last year. How about you? How about you? Who will you serve in 2017? And whose voice will you obey? There's a challenge there. And we have to do it proper. We have to go all for one or all for the other. No good. Bit over here and a bit over there. Can't do that. Can't do that. If you do, it doesn't go right. I can tell you from experience. All right? You have to serve one or the other. Who will you serve in 2017?